imagine this rope, okay, pretend this rope just goes on forever. Now imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. You just exist forever. You see this red part? This would represent your time on Earth. You've got a few short years here on Earth, and then you've got all of eternity somewhere else. And what blows me away is some of you, all you think about is this red part. It's all you think about. You're consumed with this. You go, oh man, I can't wait till here. You know, I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna save so I can really enjoy this part right here. And you're consumed with that, and you're thinking, oh man, am I gonna get to travel? Am I gonna eat well? Am I gonna do this during this part? And I'm like, are you kidding me? What about this? What about all this stuff? It's crazy to me, because the Bible teaches that what I do during this little red part determines how I'm going to exist for millions and millions and millions of years forever. And so why would I spend this little red part trying to make myself as comfortable as possible, enjoying myself as much as I can? Paul says, look, I'm going to live my life for this mission. I'm going to spend my life, invest my life for this moment when I cross that finish line. Because when I face him, then I don't get this chance over again. We get one chance at this life on earth, and it can end at any second for any of us. We've got one chance at this, and then comes eternity.
Our lives are represented by the red part of this rope from beginning to end. And yet, this is not the end, even though our lives seems to be everything we live for, everything we know. And yet, there's so much more, because there is eternity. And eternity is a really, 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 really long time. And what you believe about eternity determines how you live today. But it's what we do with the red part that determines where we spend our eternity, because it's going to be one of two places, heaven or hell. For this series, we've been looking at the fact that eternity is real, that heaven is real, that hell is real, that Jesus is coming back, and hope is real. Today, our goal is to ask and to answer this question. Could the end of the world happen today? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you. There is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of this message, we're going to give you the opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to grab your phones and open up the Bible app if you have it. And we're going to be turning today to Acts chapter 1. We'll be reading out the New Living Translation. We encourage you to have the Bible app on your phone to look it up with us so that you know where it is. But the words are going to be up on the screen as we come along. And as we go into Acts chapter 1, I've got to back it up for a second so we know that where we're at in the whole Bible story. You see, Jesus has come to this planet. He's come with a mission. He has completed his mission, because his mission was to pay the price for our sins. He died on the cross, but he did not stay dead. God rose him back to life 3 days later. He showed himself to his disciples and to many others. He was on this planet for 40 days before he left to go up to heaven. And before he left, he met with his disciples, with the apostles, and they had some questions, and he was giving some last-minute information, but their questioning was kind of out of line, because they had a warped sense of who the Messiah was supposed to be. Like, they had spent all this time with Jesus, but in their mind, the Messiah was supposed to be a conqueror, supposed to restore the state of Israel. And Jesus hadn't done that yet. You see, at this time, Israel was under Roman Empire occupation. They were not their own country. And they thought, if the Messiah is real, if the Messiah is coming, he's going to set us free. He's going to reestablish our state. He's going to start a rebellion. We're going to kick them out. And yet, Jesus hasn't done this yet. But that wasn't his mission. His mission wasn't to liberate a nation. Instead, it was so much bigger. He came for all humans, not just a nation. He came to give his life as a ransom for our sin. He said it himself in John chapter 3. He said, this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, meaning go to hell, but will have eternal life, meaning go to heaven. God sent his son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. That's why he came. Now in Acts chapter 1, they're meeting together, the last moments together, and the apostles have a question. And so we're picking up in Acts chapter 1, starting with verse number 6, and here's what it says. It says, when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into the heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Let's pray. God, I pray that as we unpack your word for us today, that you would challenge our thinking, that you would challenge our hearts. May we change our perspective. May we grow closer to you today and go all in. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. Well, this weekend is football weekend at Focus Church. It's the Focus Bowl. And I have to be honest with you that 9 years ago, I could care less about the NFL. I did not have a favorite team. I did not watch it. And yet something changed for me because a particular team went way out of their way to say, we want Ryan as a fan of our team. And you're like, you think a lot about yourself, don't you? And I'm like, no, let me explain. You see, at our church in the Kansas City area, we started having former Chiefs players attend our church and then current Chiefs players attend our church. And these just Chiefs players had kids. And my wife and I, we were the children's pastors. So it meant we had Chiefs kids in our nursery, in our preschool, in our elementary ministry. We talked with them. They volunteered. These Chiefs players volunteered in our ministry. I mean, we had Summer Explosion in Kansas City, and we had Chiefs players running games for us. Pretty cool, right? It's awesome. But then one day, one of the Chiefs players, they're like, hey, Pastor, would you like a private tour of Arrowhead? And I'm like, uh-huh, yes. He's like, we'll go up to the owner's box, we'll go to the locker room, and maybe we'll see if we can get on the field. And I'm like, I'm in, yes. And so I took my kids. We got to have a private tour of the whole stadium. It was amazing, really cool. Took us to the owner's box, took us to the locker room, sat where the players get dressed and everything. It was so cool. And then he's like, how would you like to run with your kids on the grass of the field at Arrowhead? And we're like, yes, we would love to do that. And so we're running around, we're taking pictures and everything. It was amazing. In fact, when God told us that we're supposed to leave that church and we had to announce it to that church because God was calling us to be a lead pastor at another church, which ended up being this church, we had to announce that we were leaving. And when these families heard about this, they came up to us. They say, Pastor, you have made such a big impact on our family's life, on our kids' life. We want to send you to a game tonight. We're like, what, tonight? They're like, yes, there's a game, Sunday night football tonight, stadium. We have tickets for you. And you're going to sit right down at the bottom, right behind the Chiefs players with the players' wives and kids. And we're like, this is amazing. We enjoyed the game. We're like, this is so awesome. Like, we're like, we could never go to a game again because if we can't have these seats, I mean, why bother? Because it was amazing. And right before the game was over, this guy, he texts me. He's like, who's your son Randon's favorite player on the field right now? And so I asked Randon, and Randon's like, Travis Kelce. And so as soon as the game was over, this guy, he ran onto the field, went straight up to Travis Kelce and took his gloves off his hands, took and ran them back there and gave them to Randon and said, here you go. Travis Kelce's gloves. He had caught a touchdown just minutes before with those gloves. We have them. Okay, so it's in that backdrop that all of a sudden God's saying, hey, I want you to go to Wisconsin to go lead a church when the Chiefs had worked so hard to earn our fanship. And then all of a sudden this new church in Sun Prairie that's saying, hey, Ryan and Shalee, come be our pastors and come be Packers fans. We're like, sorry, we can't do it. They're like, you have to be Packers fans. You're going to live in Wisconsin. We're like, then we're not coming. So we had to make a compromise and say that because our teams are in different leagues, that we can live together peacefully, that I can cheer for your team and you can cheer for my team as long as we're not playing each other. But if we ever play each other, all bets are off, okay? It's on. And it's only been a couple times. And this weekend, tonight, we're playing each other. And this is really the first big focus bowl, because a couple years ago was the last time we were supposed to play. And at the last second, Aaron Rodgers got hurt. And so it was the first time that Jordan Love had to play a game. And so we kind of called foul and said, yeah, the Chiefs are going to win anyways. Because look, you know, we weren't playing the best. But now this is, I mean, if the Packers don't win today, can you really make the playoffs? And so this is on the line. But you know what? Someone in this room today is going to the Chiefs game and Packers game tonight. Two people. I mean, you get two tickets to go, and that's pretty cool. And when it comes to football, did you know there's a clock? That whatever you're going to accomplish in the game has to take place in 4 15-minute quarters. And if you were smart, you can add up 4 15-minute quarters and say a football game should only last an hour. You're laughing, right? Because football games don't last an hour, because seconds in a football game feel like eternity. Now, in order to win at football, you need some basic skills to move the ball down the field. You got to be able to pass, to run, to catch, kicking, punting, tackling. But there is one skill needed that not every team has. Can you manage the clock? Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. On January 23rd, 2021, the Buffalo Bills were at Arrowhead playing the Kansas City Chiefs in an AFC playoff game in what has now been considered to be one of the greatest games of all time. You see, for most of the game, the Buffalo Bills were losing. But in the fourth quarter, with only 2 minutes left in the game, they had driven all the way down the field. With under 2 minutes left, they scored a go-ahead touchdown. They had got the lead. They might win. They might go on in the playoffs. But then the ball was given to the Kansas City Chiefs, and they had to manage the clock and move the ball down with less than 2 minutes. And you know what they did? In less than 1 minute, the Kansas City Chiefs answered that touchdown with a touchdown of their own, going all the way down the field. And that meant with 57 seconds left on the clock, the Buffalo Bills team got the ball back, and they managed the clock, and they went down the field, and they scored a go-ahead touchdown with only 13 seconds left on the clock. Both these teams was managing the clock well. They were maximizing what they did with the time that they had left. Tick. In this series, we've been looking at eternity, how it's a really long time. And this red part represents our life. And at most, the bodies that we reside in right now, they will only last about 100 years. that there is a countdown going on with our physical body, that we will not live in these bodies forever. And so, with every year that passes, with every month, with every week, with every day, with every hour, with every minute, with every second that this countdown is going on, it turns out this is not the only countdown happening in our lives towards eternity. There's another countdown. We just read about it in Acts chapter 1. Jesus is coming back. And although we think we might have enough time on earth, it's possible we don't have all the time we think because Jesus is coming back. The angel said to the disciples as Jesus left, saying he's going to come back the same way that he came, or that he left. That means that Jesus is going to come back from the heavens, in the air, through the clouds, back to this planet. Kind of cool. Well, Paul describes it even more so. And we find this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here's what Paul says about this second coming of Jesus, where he's coming back. It says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, with a trumpet call of God. And we who are still alive and remain on this earth will be caught up to the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We will be with the Lord forever." And what Paul's describing here is an event that's going to take place when Jesus comes back that we've given a name to. You might have heard this name before. It's known as the rapture. Now, interesting enough, Bible trivia for you, rapture is not found in the Bible, that word. But what that word is simply doing is describing Jesus coming back. Jesus is coming back, and all believers who are alive when he comes back will be caught up in the air, and we will be with Jesus. Wow. Yes, that's cool. Yes, it's happening. It's going to be. Now, hold on, though. When is Jesus coming back? I mean, it'd be helpful to know, like, is it going to be in our lifetime? Is it going to be in the next generation's lifetime? Is it now? Is it later? How much time do we have? Well, there was another point where the disciples were with Jesus and they asked him a question like, how do we know when the end of the world is going to take place? And the conversation that Jesus has with the disciples is recorded in Matthew chapter 24. I highly encourage you to read this chapter, make that homework that I want to read Matthew chapter 24, because Jesus is talking about, here's what it's going to be like. Here's what's going to happen. We can get some clues. But he said, we already have the ability to tell when things are going to happen, that there's signs. And he uses this illustration found in Matthew 24, verse 32. He says, learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. I mean, we know the same thing here in Wisconsin. When the days get short and the temperature drops, winter is coming, isn't it? Now, I have to tell you, one of my favorite days of the year in Wisconsin is coming up very soon. Let me tell you what day it is. December 21st. Does anybody know why I like December 21st here in Wisconsin? Yeah, you know why. Because it's the shortest day of the year. And if we can get past December 21st, guess what? It's getting longer and longer. You know what's going to happen? Summer is coming. And we can look forward to that. Yes. And you know why we know that summer is coming? Because we can understand signs. We can look at signs and say, ah, I know what's going to happen. Because this has happened. And Jesus is saying the same thing here in Matthew chapter 24. He said, look at the fig tree. When you see it budding, you know the summer is coming. He says, in the same way, when you see all these things, you can know that the return is near, right at the door. See what things? Well, if we rewind just a little bit in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus talks about signs that are going to happen before he comes back. He kind of lays it all out that these things are going to happen before the end. And I'm going to read some of these off for you. And as I read them, I want you to think in your head, has anything like that happened yet? So let's take a look. He said, There's going to be fake messiahs, people pretending to be Jesus. There's going to be wars and threats of wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be pandemics. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be Jesus followers who are arrested, persecuted, killed, and hated. There's going to be many people who turn away from Jesus and they're going to betray and hate each other. Sin is going to be rampant everywhere. Many people's love of Jesus will grow cold. And the good news about the kingdom will be shared around the world. Now, Jesus said, when you see these signs, it's going to happen. That these things happen first, and then he's coming back. But did you notice? According to the signs, it could happen now. Okay. That just made this real. The countdown is real. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. But is it possible to know the precise time that he's coming back? Now, there are times when my wife leaves the house and leaves me at home, and she leaves a list of things I need to accomplish before she comes back. And let me tell you what I do. It's no secret to her, I think. But here's what I do. Maybe you do this too. I look at the list of what she wants me to accomplish, and I look at the time of how long I have before she comes home, and I've learned to ask this question before she even leaves. So about what time do you think you'll be back home? And the reason why I'm asking that question is because I'm calculating that the chores that she wants me to accomplish will only take this much time, and I want to do the things I want to do first. And then I'm going to scramble and be all done before she gets home and be like, ta-da, look what I did. Ain't I a good husband? And yet I also enjoyed myself and did what I wanted to do. That's what I do. But here's the deal. It helps if we can know the exact time she's coming home, right? And I'm so thankful that they put this into phones, find my phone, and I can look up where she's at and then do a calculation of what the driving distance is from there to here. And I know, I have 15 minutes. I really wish they would add a whole another layer to this and put like a geofence around that if she arrives within a 5-minute driving distance around the house, then I know 5 minutes till she shows up. Yeah. You're laughing because it's funny. It's true. You might do it too. But you might have already done this with this weekend that you found out here at Focus Church. They're giving away Packers tickets. And you're like, okay, what's the minimum I got to do? I got to show up at church. Do I have to attend the entire service in order to win? When exactly in the service are they going to give the tickets? Like, do I have to listen and pay attention or anything? Some of you have even calculated out that I'm going to attend all three services because I want to increase my chances. Now, we also do this with our eternity. Our eternity hangs in the balance, and all we have is this red part. And you know what we all wish we could do? We wish that we could maximize the time we spend in the red part doing what we want to do and calculate out when is the end. And I hope that while I'm taking my last breath, I get right with God, just in case. Right? If I can, in my last breath, know that this is it, then I can spend my whole life doing what I want to do and yet still get to spend all of eternity. That would be winning, wouldn't it? If we knew when our last breath was. See, we spend our lives in this red part saying, what is the minimum I have to do to maximize what I want to do before I have to do what I need to do. Now, the problem is that we know we have this countdown, but this whole Jesus coming back thing messes up our whole plan because we don't know when he's coming back. And if there is only a way to know when he's coming back, then we can prepare for that too, right? So is it possible to figure out the exact time that Jesus is coming back? Well, Jesus talked about this in Matthew 24. Verse 37, he says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. In those days before the flood came, he said, people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings and football games right up to the time that Noah entered the boat, the ark. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man returns. Jesus' words. It's going to be like normal life. And then all of a sudden, whoosh, it happens. He goes further to describe what it will be like when it happens. He says, two men will be working together in a field. One will be taken, whoosh, and the other left. He says, two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, whoosh, and the other left. It will be life like normal, and then whoosh, it happens. So when precisely will this happen? Well, no one but God knows when. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Jesus doesn't even know. He says, only the Father knows. And this is straight from Jesus himself. No one but God knows. And if anyone says a date for when the end of the world's going to take place, you can just know based off the scripture, they're wrong. They're lying. They don't know. I mean, it was only like 11 years ago that they said the end of the world taking place in 2012, right? Because of the Mayan calendars ending in the future. And here we are 11 years later, right? Didn't happen. So if anyone sets a date and says, I know, I predicted, the prophecies say, we've looked at the Bible and it says this, that it's going to, they're wrong. Jesus said it himself. Only God knows. But if we did know, we would want to maximize the clock, right? We would want to maximize so that we can do what we want to do before we have to do what we need to do. You see, if we knew when Jesus was coming back, we simply wouldn't get ready or be ready until it was time. A couple winters ago, we woke up to go out to our car to discover that our car was open and everything in our car was laid out in our driveway. Someone had come in the middle of the night and broke into our car. And let me tell you, the feeling it gave us, our hearts sunk. And we began thinking like, wait, what? I'm sure the doors were locked. I mean, who was the last one out to the car? And wait, this is right in our front yard while we were sleeping in our driveway? And we looked to see, is there anything missing? And we discovered there was something missing. Shalee had just gotten a new long white North Face coat with the hood without the fuzzy part. It's her dream coat. We'd finally found it. And she had left it in the car, and that's what got stolen out of our car. I have tried for 2 years now to find that coat so I could try to restore that back to her. I can't find it. And every day it feels like you're violated. Like, is there anything I could have done differently? Like, should I put security cameras up? And I mean, we called the police and the police are like, sorry, it happens. Make sure you lock your doors. I'm like, I'm pretty sure it did, but I don't know. I don't know if they broke in or if we just left it unlocked. I don't know. But I wish I could have a do-over. You don't plan for someone to break into your stuff and steal your stuff. And Jesus knew this too, because he described his coming in the same way. He says in Matthew 24, verse 43, he says, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. He said, you also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. But sometimes, when we hear about the impending countdown of Jesus coming back soon at any time, we tend to worry that we might miss it. Like, has it already happened? And did I miss it? Like, will I actually make it? Like, how do I know? Like, what if I'm like, I sin at the very wrong moment and I just negate everything? I mean, this is kind of a fear that sometimes when we hear about Jesus coming back, we hear about this crazy word called the rapture, we're like, oh, I don't want to miss it. But then we live in fear thinking, what if I miss it? What if I didn't know it already happened? I've talked to people in our church that they grew up kind of with this fear. And I knew it was a big deal when I was growing up and I was part of a church and a youth group where it's like, hey, you don't want to miss it, you know. Don't want to do anything wrong. Be careful. As a matter of fact, when I was in a youth group at a church in Texas, we decided to play a prank on our youth pastor. We were gathered together and he had to leave for a minute, but we had pre-planned that we all brought a change of clothing. And as soon as he left, we laid out our clothes where we were in the room and then we went and all hid. And he came back and thought, did Jesus come back and I missed it? It was so fun for us, not for him. I mean, this is a fear that happens, but you know what? You don't have to worry about if you miss it or has it already happened or anything, because when Jesus comes back, everyone will know when it happens. Why do we know this? Because Jesus says, if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look. Or if he says, look, he is hiding over here, don't believe it. It's Jesus talking to us. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines to the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. You will know when it happens. Everyone will see it. Everyone will hear it. People will go missing. Jesus coming back is not going to be a secret event. It will be a worldwide event. The countdown is real. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. And with this in mind, we need to come to this realization. It's found in the red box on your notes. And it says this, since Jesus can come back at any time, I need to get right with God and take eternity seriously. And as we've been talking today about the countdown of our lives and the countdown of Jesus coming back, we start to realize that we don't have all the time in the world. And when it comes to time, none of time is guaranteed. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what will happen next month or next year. Matter of fact, James talks about this. He kind of calls people out on this, on how people make plans and just say, oh, as if you are guaranteed all of time. Here's what he says in James chapter 4. He says, hey, you guys, he says, you guys who say this, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we're going to stay there a year and we're going to do business and we're going to make a profit. And he asks them the question, how do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. Tomorrow is not promised. But what will you do with what you do have with time? You know what you have? You have now. How can you maximize the time you have now in light of eternity? You see, with 13 seconds left on the clock, the Buffalo Bills thought, we did it.
It's impossible for anyone to do anything with 13 seconds. That's just unheard of. It's never happened. They had it. They had won the game. But there was still 13 seconds left on the clock. And so, with 13 seconds left on the clock, let me tell you, this game is now known as the 13-second game. Because what happened in the next 13 seconds is that the Chiefs, they did not fold, they did not quit, they did not take a knee, they did not accept defeat, but they moved the ball quickly down the field because they maximized the time they did have. And what they did have was 13 seconds on the clock. And in 13 seconds, they moved the ball far enough down the field to kick a field goal to tie the game, to force the game into overtime, and in overtime, decisively defeated the Buffalo Bills. They managed the clock well. You see, no matter what you've done to this point, you can still maximize the time you do have, and that's now. The countdown, it's real. So, will you get serious with God and go all in? And if you've already gone all in, are you taking seriously that you need to bring people with you? That there are people in your life who need God? And you don't have all the time in the world to tell them about the good news of Jesus. So what are you doing? In the bottom corner of your notes, there's a spot where it says my plus one. It's blank. If you were to receive an invitation and it says you're invited and you get a plus one, that means it's understood you get to bring someone with you. And that's your invitation when it comes to being a part of God's family. To accepting the gift of salvation. Salvation from what? Eternity. From hell. But it's not just for you, it's also for other people too. Other people you care about. So you get a plus one with your invitation. I had someone ask me, do I only get one? I'm like, no! You get more. Who are you gonna rescue? Who are you gonna help? Who are you gonna bring to Jesus? Who's someone's name that you can write in that blank? Put it down there. Put their name. I actually invite you to take it one step further, and there's a quick website right next to that blank where you can fill out a form to let me know who is that person. I want to pray for them. I want us to agree together that they need to know Jesus because the countdown is real. We've got to do it before it's too late. Here's what we know. Eternity is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. The countdown is real. And what are you going to do to maximize the time you have now? Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes, to bow your head as we take a moment to talk to God here at the end. God, we heard today that some of us, even for the first time, whether we're in person here or watching online, that you are coming back, that we don't have all the time in the world, we don't have our entire lifetime, but according to the signs, you could come back at any time. It could be today, even before a Packers game tonight. So God, the question we're really facing in our lives at this moment is, what are we doing about it to maximize the time? Are we doing the things we need to know because the time is near? Are we ready? God, I pray right now for those who would say, I'm not ready. God, I pray that today would be the day that they would say yes to you. But God, I also pray for the people who have already gone all in with you, that they would take eternity seriously too, but not necessarily for themselves, but for those they love. That God, as we're exposed to the reality of eternity and that it's a really long time, that we would have eternity affect our life now and what we do today and what we do tomorrow and what we do this week. That God, I pray that you would help us to care about people who need you. Help us, God, to share the good news that we don't have to spend eternity separated from you. But you've loved us and you've made a way. You sent your son to die for our sins in our place, that we can be forgiven, that we can be set free, that we can be a part of your family, God, that we can spend eternity in heaven with you. God, help us to take this good news to those we love, to those we care about, to those who we cross paths with. God, make us aware, make us care. Be with us, God, in Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed, our eyes still closed, I'm reminded that at the beginning of this message, we said, if you came today looking for hope, that hope is found in Jesus, and we give you the opportunity to receive that hope, and here we are. Maybe today, as you've been listening to this message, either online or here in person, you've been saying, whoa, I'm not ready, but I need to be. I want to be. What do I have to do, Pastor? Well, the Bible says that we need to have a conversation with God. We call it prayer. In this prayer, first we've got to realize that we're not worthy, that we can't do this by ourselves. We got to recognize that we have sin and that we're sorry. But secondly, we got to believe that God did love us, that he did send his son Jesus, that Jesus did die for us, and that what Jesus did on the cross for us and dying for our sins, we need to claim it as that was for me. Finally, you got to decide and say, I'm going all in. That God, I give you all of me. That I'm going to make you the leader of my life. You're going to be the boss of me. That I'm going to follow you. And it's in that moment when we make that decision, we make those declarations, that we're forgiven. Our name is written in the book, that we get to spend eternity with God in heaven. It's in that moment that we pray that prayer, that we're forgiven, we're set free, we're part of God's family. But while we're still on this earth, while the two countdown timers, which are very real, are counting down, we've got a job to do. Our job, our mission, our focus is to help others find God too. And so I want to help you today with this prayer. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say this prayer in bite-sized pieces out loud. And I'm going to encourage you to say it out loud, repeating after me. The Bible says it's in our heart that we believe, but it's with our mouth that we say it out loud and say that God's in charge, that he is Lord. But don't worry, you're not going to pray alone today, because we're asking the entire Focus family to pray this prayer with us, because this is the most important thing we do here at Focus Church. We're focused on helping people find God's place in their life. And so, let's pray right now. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for the sin of my life. I need you. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son, Jesus, to pay the price for me. I want to live for you, with you in charge. Give me hope. Give me freedom. Bring focus to my life. In Jesus' name.